November 29, 2023, it's a lot for Pedro's show.
That's impressing a lot of people, John, anyway. You know, they said, man, how do you guys remember all that stuff, you know? We weren't really remembering much. Just the basic changes, and everybody else just tried anything they wanted to try on it. So. And Monk, he's always doing something back there that sounds so mysterious. And it's not mysterious at all, you know, when you know what he's doing.
Pedro's show. Happy Tuesday. No, it ain't. It's fucking Wednesday.
Wednesday, the last Wednesday.
Yeah. Mercoles. Of the month,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
By November. Right?
Countdown.
Friday, Saturday. Yeah, I'm going to play with Perk for it and Fadden's B-Day at the Mint.
Oh, bitchin'.
Yeah, and in fact, speaking of Perk, he asked me to do these gigs.
Yeah, can't wait to hear
more.
Time's out. Can't wait to hear more about that.
Okay. Yeah, we played last Friday some no prac gig, but it was, I blew some clams. It was interesting.
Bitching.
Downtown, so like, thing that appeared out of nowhere. But it was cool. Also, Chris Corsano's in town. And
ooh.
He's, not yet. He's coming. He's going to record in the desert. And then he wants to record with Joe Bison.
Oh, bitchin'.
And then a couple days later, come here to Pedro.
Wow.
On the 21st.
Oh, bitchin'.
B-day.
Cool.
Me, Joe Bison, and Chris Corzano at the Dean.
Righteous.
Yeah.
Righteous.
I went by the 21. D-Boon Joe Bison pad earlier.
Well, D-Boon looked upstairs. You're talking about on 19th Street?
Yeah, near Harold's.
It's in the alley.
Yeah, I went over there before I came here.
Historic cruise.
I think it's 960. I can't remember the number, but it's got a number. You know it's in the alley. But it's 19th Pacific, Southwest Corner. And Joe Bison lived underneath Deep Boone there with Gary Jacoby.
Mm-hmm.
Boone almost died of pneumonia upstairs. And his wife asked for help to come back. And that's where we started the Mint. And you can tell, Brother Matt, we are not men alone. We have a guest here.
Right on.
All the way from the Val. Well, Philadelphia, via the Val. Welcome aboard, Steve.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Mike.
Welcome to Pedro.
Thank you.
Okay, earliest music. Oh, well, I should tell people what they heard. John Coltrane talking to August Bloom, 1958, June 15. Talking about remembering stuff. How could he remember all that stuff, right? The Thelonious Monk. Well, he wasn't. He was just playing in the moment. That's the way he plays. But he says, if you played by memory, you played it better. And then we have Split Red with Un Poco Foco. Fire. Okay, earliest musical memory, Stevie, bring it.
I think it was Chuck Berry, My Ding-a-Ling.
Right on.
And biggest hit Chuck Berry had.
In my dad's car.
He wrote.
Yeah, all those hits.
Trying to be good, Roll Over, Baby Don't. That's his biggest song is Ding-a-Ling. It's the festivals that was that year, I guess. And where you were growing up, was there musical instruments?
No.
So, were you in the school band or the choir?
No. I came from an athlete family.
Yeah, but in the school sometimes people played.
So were you athlete then too?
Yeah.
What sports?
When I was younger, I did football and then lacrosse in high school. Mm. And my brother, and my dad, and my nephews now. Mm. And niece.
Cool.
What was the first record you bought with your own money?
I'm pretty sure it was Fat Boys.
Fat Boys. And then, did they have the Sugar Hill Gang behind them?
I don't think so, but I'm not certain.
I wonder if they did. What was the first gig you saw?
The Jackson Victory Tour.
Jackson Brothers.
Yeah.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
What year was that?
I think it was 1984, but I'm not sure. Huh.
And,
at Franklin Field in Philadelphia, which is long gone.
Where Eagles used to play.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I remember on TV, Brother Matt, you could see the street. It was a weird kind of place for NFL.
Wow.
You could, like, see the street and shit.
Chuck Bednarik.
Yeah, and we got a quarterback from them. The Polish Rifle or something. What was his name?
Ron Jaworski? Jaworski, yeah.
Yeah, that was my era growing up.
I think he's the guy who took over after Roman Gabriel and shit. I don't remember so well.
My nephew was named Boutros Roman
was
Gabriel.
The big place.
I saw at Trainees.
He had a bus.
Trainees had it, yeah.
Boutros had a bus when they'd all go to the game. When it was there on 22nd.
Yeah, I just saw old Rams quarterback on the Iowa recently, Ferragamo.
They
did the sports watch.
Which I think was Wemoss guy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Banning.
Harvard College.
Banning, yeah.
Wow.
Banning, right, Pilots. Mm. Yeah, Vince Ferragamo, local.
Yeah.
Ended up coaching.
I know
and
that.
A quarterback. Okay. So, you end up on guitar. How'd that happen?
I tinkered on it in college, and then after college, I kind of committed to it. So, yeah, that's when I really, started focusing on it.
No, how'd you get it, though?
How'd I get it?
College had it?
I don't remember. I think through a friend. He left
around.
Who
started playing?
Yeah, he left around. Like, there was this harmony with, the super high frets, which at the time I thought that was a good move to really get the calluses going, but it's unnecessary torture.
High frets?
Super high frets.
Okay. What's even worse, super high strings.
Yeah.
Right?
Both.
Yeah, I guess. And so you playing on his gave you the idea that you wanted to play. So when did you get your first guitar?
I'll say at the end of college. And I bought it just because I was working.
Well, you bought it not by accident, right?
No. I went to the store.
You bought it on purpose.
Yeah.
Because you like playing on your friends.
Yeah, and so I want it lower. I want it lower action.
Did you ask him to give you lessons?
No.
Try to teach yourself.
I tried a couple lessons, but they would never take, and so I just kind of figured it out myself. And you know, I can play what I play, but I couldn't necessarily play Happy Birthday for you right now.
So, did you try to learn off records, or what? Did you just start writing your own stuff? What'd you do?
Yes, I think because I couldn't do that, I was trying to, you know, mimic Electric Miles or Grant Green, and just because that was the music I really loved at the time. And then I started writing my own songs. I mean, just riffs.
And what about playing with other people?
That started happening, like, in college I sometimes would play with this one guy a little bit, and then after school I started playing with my friend Jim Coughlin. And it was just the two of us in the basement at his place in South Philadelphia.
Did you do gigs?
We did, yeah, we did. We were together for, I don't know, I'll just say 3 years or something like that, and we...
What was this band called? It was just
it's called Red Ox.
Red Ox, no. You gave me a Red Ox song.
Yeah, so it was me and Nebadon and... Bill Johnson and T.C. Owens.
And so that's the first band you're in?
Yes.
Do you remember your first gig? What was the first Red Ox gig?
I don't remember it. Yeah, I honestly don't remember it.
Why Red Ox?
I don't even remember it. It's just, you know, I wanted the word red, you know, for... And then I don't know why I came up with it. Maybe because it was slow music, and I was just trying. I think of oxes as heavy or something or slow. Not a good reason.
And you can't remember the first. Do you remember any of the gigs?
Oh, I remember a lot of them. Yeah.
Okay. Just not the first
one. Not the first one.
Okay, let's play some more Split Red, because. There is one Red Ox song, but it's next out.
We'll be right back.
Bought for Pedro Show at Truck and Music Star off Split Red doing Texas Mercy. And Corey and the boys doing a Dick song. Dicks Hate the Police, but they call it Croy Hates the Police. Scott Furrow's brand new. The tune's called Old Morality, though. Speaking of Chris Corsano, there's the Corsano Flower Duo. Got this from Derek Moneypenny. Hmm. A river that turned into a raging fire. Oakland Afternoon Ensemble after that with Homeostasis. It says this thing twice here. Oakland Afternoon Ensemble. Must be repeated. And then finally, Split Red with R. Matanza. I guess somebody's name. How long does Red Ox stay together?
I think about 3 years. Three years sounds about right.
And what happened to him? Why did it fall apart?
I don't really remember.
And then, so when did Split Red happen?
I think that started in 05, and we were together for I guess...
What's the difference? Is there different people?
Yeah, different people. We're one of those bands that have multiple singers, so I think we maybe had 5 singers, at least 4.
Who was in the first version?
The first version was... Nate Farrar, myself, obviously, Dave Flaherty, and Matt Engel on bass.
And who changed? The singer?
The singer, and several times, and, and I forgot to mention Travis Woodson. Travis Woodson was the second guitarist.
Like these songs we heard, Un Poco Loco. Texas Mercy, R. Matanza, are they the same singers?
They aren't. But, you know, the other people, Travis. Travis is the guitar player.
Right.
Yeah, like
so
I said.
So who's in which version? I have no idea. You just said put Split Red on them.
Yeah, it's this. The first version was, I believe that was with Nate on vocals, and then the other version was with Nebadon Adams. He was a singer who was also in Red Ox. And then...
There are some people. I asked you if there was people that blended over from both
there,
bands.
Yeah, there is. I thought I said yes, but... and then Brandon Seabrook is on a track on...
Who is?
Brandon Seabrook, who...
Yeah, I know
you know
Brandon
and play
Seabrook
with.
Is. Collaborated with some recordings.
Yeah.
I've never played with them.
And we connected over our mutual love of the Minutemen.
And he was in one of these versions?
He just played, he guested on the records a little bit, just on a track or two.
Was he on any of these tracks?
I can't remember which tracks I submitted to you, to be honest with you, but...
The ones we just played were on Poco Loco, Texas Mercy, and our... Matanza.
Yeah, he might have been on Texas Mercy.
Okay. Do you remember the first Split Red gig?
Man, I don't. I know it's lame. I can't remember. I remember a lot of the gigs, but I just don't remember that first one.
You remember what was the early one like?
It was at a friend's barn party in Germantown. Sun Ra House.
Was it different than Red Ox?
In terms of which?
Just the whole thing, the experience. You played
no, there was,
the band.
It was similar, you know, playing with friends, and there was, you know, very similar aesthetic for both of them, and playing a lot of the same venues and houses and barn, as I said.
So it wasn't like an evolution, or it was kind of repeat?
I guess it was maybe right between repeat and evolution.
Because you're playing more stuff and you're writing more stuff, so is there kind of a development?
Yeah, possibly. I never thought about it that way, but maybe.
Well, like, okay, the material. How did Red Ox come up with material? Was it your songs?
It was me and Jim Coughlin, the drummer, were writing the songs together.
And then when you moved to Split Red, what's the songwriting like?
That's me writing the songs, but and then the, you know, singer being the lyricist. But, you know, the for both bands, the musicians themselves had a huge, you know, they were basically producers, you know. So their parts were imperative.
But it sounds like the drummer was more involved with the songwriting than Red Ox.
Yeah.
And with Split Red, not so much?
No. It was myself bringing, you know, again, just bringing riffs and those guys developing the harmonic stuff. And, you know, the drummer in Split Red was Dave Flair. Ricardo Lagomasino was on the second album, the second Split Red album. And
there's more than one drummer?
Yeah.
So who's the drummer on the first one?
Dave Flaherty.
Okay.
And then the drummer on the second one is Ricardo Lagomasino.
Maybe how do you know these guys? You're living with them? You're going to school with them?
Jim Coughlin from the first band was a lifelong friend of a close college friend, Jim Dalton. And then we just met the rest of the band through mutual friends. Actually, Nebadon Adams is stepdad is Rick Iannacone. So, and Rick Iannacone is someone that all of us would go see a lot.
Yeah.
Not sure if you've heard of him, but he played with Shannon Jackson and Billy Paul and Harold Melvin. But he connected us. And then the rest of the guys, I guess, you know, Travis was just like a super music fan and who was the guitar player and, you know, for Split Red. And,
well, yeah. One of them, you were the other guitar player.
Yeah, but he was the stunt guitarist, is, you know.
Stunt?
You know, like, I always hear it as, like, stunt guitarist for Adrian Belew or Steve Vai.
So what's a stunt guitarist?
I guess the wizard, you know.
Oh, because on the second Blue Oyster Cult album, Eric Bloom's credited with stun guitar.
Oh.
But there's no T, it's stunt.
I like that more.
And D. Boone liked it, and that's why I chose D. Boone.
Yeah, I think.
But he never said he played stunned guitar.
Stunned.
So the guy who plays better, or the guy who does the lead parts?
The lead part, and definitely better. I mean, he's a great player.
And how'd you find him?
You know, I forget how I found.
Split Red had the stunned guitars too.
Correct, yeah, and that was Travis Woodson, yeah.
And you know what, I'm trying to find out what's the difference between the two bands, it's just the people.
Yeah, it's the people.
But it seems like it's kind of similar.
Yeah, I think, the more I think about it, yeah, it's a similar thing, just different people.
That means it must have been your idea then. This band.
Yeah, it was definitely my idea. It was my idea, but, you know, they were very important, you know.
Did Split Red record?
We did. We recorded...
like this stuff here?
Yeah. The first batch of material never was officially released just because of the whole different singer thing and timing. And but then the second record came out on New Atlantis, Ed Rickert. I don't know if you released with him.
No, I don't know about New Atlantis.
Yeah.
I know there was a Sun Ra album called Atlantis that Atlantic put out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he got it from that.
I wonder.
He's got big ears.
That's a trippy record, Atlantis.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the first hour. November 29, 2023 edition of the Walk from Pedro Show. Special guest Stevie Bono. Hold tight for hour 2.
Get out
November 29, 2023. It's the second hour of the Walk from Pedro Show.
mama.
Start off the second hour The split red doing Road to Aguilares. MP Jones, draft one of Serotonin Chasers. Sharky Face. We had Angela Edwards on last episode, Sharky Face. Underneath, Bob Lord with Incident at Exeter 1965. Position Normal, part 9 to 10 of their Whistle Conversion. Split Red with the song called D-Boom.
Yeah.
Thomas Prendon, A Russian Grind. Eugene Chadbourne, Ascension is played by Artificial Intelligence. BXMR with Own Thang. Circus Devils, Strawberry Limousine. And then Here's Red Ox, Spaghetti and Western. So, yeah, we should have played Red Ox first, but didn't know the timeline. Did Split Red tour?
No, I mean, we did a handful of, you know, D.C. dates and New York dates, but we never did the big tour.
And what was the arc of the band? We just did some local gigs?
Yeah, we played a lot of shows around Philadelphia, and then we would go up to New York here and there. And I actually don't think we played, you know, south of Philadelphia until our last group of shows.
D.C., Baltimore?
Yeah, so that band ended in, like, early 2014, because I moved to Chicago in 2014 on my way out here.
And once you were gone, the band was gone.
Yeah, yeah, that was the end of the band.
And, like, Spaghetti and Western, is that one where you and the drummer wrote the music and the singer wrote the words?
Correct.
And,
you know, it's like a corny reference to Ennio Morricone.
Is it?
Yeah.
You wouldn't hear it by listening to music, though. You wouldn't know that.
I mean, I think a lot of my favorite music doesn't sound like Red Ox or Split Red, because I can't play that stuff. But that's where it comes from.
There was a Baltimore band called the Oxes. I think they're instrumental. About 15 years ago. Had that guy Baby Leg.
I don't know that name.
He managed it. Yeah, it was a cat who worked at the auto bar.
Okay.
It's trippy. I know it's just a coincidence. Red Ox and Ox. There was a band out here in the old days. Oxbow. Eugene.
I know about them, yeah. The
cat from Whipping Boy.
Yeah, I haven't gone deep with him, but I know he's a bad dude.
Yeah, he's getting way back.
And Diesel, too.
That's right.
Like,
yeah, he's this kind of beefy dude. And intense appearance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whipping Boy, what a name. Yeah, I think he, like, maybe he was on Stanford.
Football team?
Yeah, or something like that.
I wouldn't be surprised. He was yoked. He probably still is.
Well, he had another band after. Maybe it was Oxblood. That's what they were called.
Yeah.
Oxblood.
Oxbow.
Oxbow. Yeah. That's it. Oxbow. A Whipping Boy way back.
Amazing.
That's what I remember. And then, okay, so you moved to Chicago. You stopped doing music?
I was playing weekly with Mark Shippey and Pat Sansom from U.S. Maple. And so we were just playing weekly, and then... I lived there for 2 years, and we didn't gig until, you know, the month before I moved. We did one gig, and then we did a recording.
What was it called?
I think I called it Happy House or something for that one gig. But
played one gig and recorded one?
Yeah, and that was at the Hideout that we did that gig.
Okay.
And that was fun. It was funny because we opened for Ty Siegel. It was, like, unexpected. I didn't know we were going to open for him. And at that time, you know, I'd heard his name, but I wasn't familiar with him yet, and there's like a reggae artist named Bunny Siegel. So on the way to the gig, someone said, "Oh, you're opening for Ty Siegel," and I thought we were opening for a reggae artist. So, and they were amazing, and they all watched our whole set, which I really appreciate that. But they were probably watching Mark Shippey because he's such a brilliant guitar player. Do you know? Are you hip to Shippey?
I might have been on a recording that Laskovich put together.
Oh, you know what? I think you were.
Matt Laskovich will put together
super groups.
In fact, he just had me, just sent me chords for a new tune. Yeah, he'll just
more scarcity
have me
of
come
tanks.
Up with things, and all of a sudden I'm part of these little ensembles. He's really good about that. Now he started. He got a Baikano line. He's driving dudes around, brother man.
Oh yeah, chauffeuring
like
the gigs.
Little like bandmeister.
Wow.
Like not his band, but he makes it happen so dudes can do bands.
Oh, that's cool.
Hey,
Wasco.
He's been working with Johnny from the Antlers in Long Beach at that studio jazz cast.
So he's been around here or still in Cleveland?
No, he'll come here.
Wow.
Of course, he's still in Cleveland, but he was at my gig at the Beachland Tavern. But he'll fly over here, Long Beach Airport. Yeah. And he'll work with Johnny and Tom Watson, Raul Morales.
Oh, bitch.
Nice.
Sometimes Pizzo. Yeah, he puts together these projects.
Righteous.
And Mark Shippey might have been part of some of the things.
Yeah, definitely.
I know the guy, Doug, from Guided by Voices, he's gotten him. He's gotten Brendan from
Fugazi.
Ian's band. Yeah.
Damn.
And I guess Mess Aesthetics now, too, with Joel Elliott.
And Anthony Pierog.
Anthony. Yeah, I played with him in Baltimore.
Yeah,
he'll do like that. He'll get these guys together to put together, you know, maybe not play together in the same room, although he does that with the Long Beach stuff. But a lot of the stuff I do with him, I just give him the tracks, and then he has other guys. So I never played with Mark Shippey in person.
Yeah.
I think I played with him on some pieces. Or he might have jumped on my pieces.
Yeah.
But that's bitching about Wasco. He's such a lover of music.
Yeah.
That he'll help dudes get their thing together.
Pied Piper.
Kind of Pied Piper. More of like a... Pied Piper's like people following, right?
Okay.
He's more... He'll try to get it going and stuff. Like I said, he'll send me chords. He'll send me... Okay, I want somebody... versus so much bridge and shit like that.
Yeah.
But he's enabler. I say he's more of an enabler than Pied Piper.
Sure, sure.
He's not like follow me. It's like let's just get it happening somehow. So
yeah.
I got one right here. Hidden Rifles with Mark Shippey.
That's what I didn't know. It's more than just a tune. I think it's
like
album.
Nine tunes on this.
Yeah.
Across the neighborhood.
That's right. And one of the guys is from. Michael Band, Swans.
Oh,
Norman Weisberg.
Norman.
Oh, nice.
Westberg.
Norman was a guitar.
Yeah.
So Norman and Mark are the guitarists on this project.
Damn.
And I can't remember who the drummer was, but I think they were all living in New York City.
Jim Sykes.
Oh, Jim Sykes.
Jim Sykes.
And coincidentally, I met Jim.
So,
I met Shippey through Jim Sykes because I had this
job. Well, they're buddies. That's how Wasco gets this to happen.
Yeah, which Jim Sykes was a teacher at University of Pennsylvania where I had like a part-time job there. And so he connected me with Shippey.
Okay.
So.
Small world.
Gratitude for, and he's a bruiser drummer who also studied Sri Lankan music. I mean, he's like an ethnomusicologist, so. Total freak, amazing player.
I placed him in Spin Cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked playing bass to his drums. He did good. He did good. And the two guitar guys were good too. Walter and Mark.
Yeah.
But Wasco, this idea, you know, in fact, he was asking me, his econo line's getting worn out, so he might have to get a transit. So
he's getting a review from you?
This is just to get other cats. Like, what was his name? Mr. Bishop.
Alan Bishop?
He was doing guitar with Mayo and stuff. In fact, Tom Watson was supposed to be part of that gig and couldn't make it. But that was Wasco toting him around.
Wow.
Yeah, it's beautiful. In the old days, you had that too. You had cats, maybe not in the band, but they loved music so much, they made it happen.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes I think of Joe Carducci like that in a way. That not everybody has to be in the band. You know, people think that bands are just the cats on stage. A lot of times bands are lots of other people. You wouldn't even see. Especially a gig is like that. A lot of people you don't know are making the big gig come together.
Yeah.
Or you hearing about the gig or whatever. You know, there's It's all about people. Speaking of people, very important first, Brother Matt, please bring your spin cycle.
Right on.
Chupin. nothing matters.
wrap it up.
What made you do what you did, just did to us? Because you're skin psyched.
Well, I'll blame part of it on you and you guys, because I got some new Watt music from Hiori up in Atascadero and at the Sardine that I got to break out.
All
so
right.
That was Canetti's right there for Joe Canetti.
Well,
I got to get a copy.
Canetti.
I got to get a copy of that to give to the Canetti family. So that was a bitchin' one. And then
part of his old pad is now part of the
Dockside.
Pad.
Yeah, it's cool. It's, have you been
it's
down there?
Good job there.
Yeah, yeah, I've been a few
I
times.
Drove by it right before I came here.
Yeah, killer stuff. Then we had that Wasco project that you guys were talking about. We had
Kid and Rifles.
You and Steve McKay in Ireland. That was bitching.
That's right. Estelle.
Yeah. And,
that was the name of the Irish
called Estelle. That was very cool. Then I had hung out with Richard fucking Bonney the other day. So I threw some Joe Strummer in for him. And then I want to give a shout-out to Roy in Bakersfield. He's a tiki, got a tiki bar. I was sitting in Anaheim Tiki Bar, Trader Sam, sitting next to this dude. Start talking, Minutemen fan.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so Roy in Bakersfield got a cool trip going on.
Did you know about T-Boone's Pop? Love Bakersfield.
Yeah, yeah. That's the roots there.
Absolutely.
And then had some Pipo Tika music in there for Scary Terry's birthday coming up, so... So big love to everybody there for the influences.
And he's playing Saturday.
Saturday at the Wigwam.
At the Wigwam.
Monsters on Vacation version.
Okay. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, November 29th, 2023 edition of Wapigo Show. Full tap hour 3. November 29th, 2023. It's the third hour of the Wapigo Show.
You're Thank you. loved you. How many do you see? My speed rise equals greater than the 90-degree demand of S. They're everywhere. Reaching up everything. Ask yourself, how many 90-degree angles do you see in nature? Seldom, if any. Ether works in those angles and imprisoning us in our natural order. It's time to break free. I present your 90-degree angels, beacons of shimmering light. Planet was with a G.
Devo show starting off the third hour with Church Chords doing Sweet Man, then Post Homo Hubris Jazz Side 5 excerpt, Platy Pop after that, Transition Emerald, Ray Shin out of Reno, Surveiller, and then finally Church Chords, Recent Mineral. Brother Steve, enlighten us to Church Chords. What is this project?
Church Chords started in 2016 at the end of my time there. I recorded with
there. Time there.
Chicago.
Okay.
And, yeah, so I did this session, and there was a bunch of people. And there was, I think, like 6 or 7 people. I had horns and arp and pedal steel. And anyway, I was trying to synthesize, you know, a Sabbath type of thing with an Electric Miles type of thing. And when I mixed it, it sounded really bad. To me, it sounded like the Miami football marching team playing Iron Man. So I was completely bummed out. And I knew I would reuse the music because there was a lot of really good playing on it. It's just the concept didn't sound good. So I basically started reusing it, and we had a new rhythm section track with Johnny Machine and or John Herndon and Ben Boy and Devin Hoff. And
by this time you've come to SoCal, right?
Yeah, but this is 2016 when I got here, and then got to Los Angeles, Mount Washington. And so I basically started giving tracks to different musicians, and over time, like, I thought it would just be instrumental, and then at a certain point I figured I would add singers. And initially I thought it would be even though I was in Los Angeles, I was going to keep it all Chicago, all the musicians who contributed, but that proved too hard to pull off.
Well, a lot of Chicago musicians moved to SoCal.
Exactly. I mean, that's why.
Like Johnny Machine.
Yeah, like Johnny and Hoff.
Jeff
and
Parker.
I mean, even Hoff, like, he was in Chicago for a minute.
He's in New York for a little bit now.
He is. Yeah. But he connected me with a lot of people when I got to Chicago, just from his short time there.
Yeah.
And then Ben Boy, who also plays with Ty and Bonnie yeah. Prince Billy and Sun Kil Moon. So I just started giving these songs to different musicians, and then I started sampling, taking other samples from the initial session in 2016, and I just would hand out, like, not hand out, kind of just give out, in a certain way, what you're saying about, is it Waskovich, or how do you?
Matt Waskovich.
Yeah, so I started giving it out to people, and then this guy, Ricardo Diaz Gomez, who I connected you with, he started writing, like, we met randomly, not randomly, but he was visiting Los Angeles from Brazil, or Portugal, and he said he was open to writing lyrics, so he just started writing lyrics for pretty much all but two of these songs. And then I took the lyrics that he wrote, and I had different singers sing it. So a lot of the Church Chords material is lyrics by...
Who sang on this magnet? Oh.
That is Akko Castro and then Ricardo. Akko is a friend through Philadelphia people who she lives in Los Angeles. She's a really amazing artist in person. And I don't think she's...
Recent Mineral?
And Recent Mineral, that's Genevieve Artadi, who's also from Los Angeles. And that was cool because Ricardo wrote lyrics in Portuguese and English. And she's learning Portuguese, so she took a chance and sang in Portuguese. And
well, like this Foco Foco.
Yeah, that's just...
It's not fuego, it's foco, that's Portuguese.
Yeah, that's, you know...
You know, the Baixo.
Yeah.
Navajo.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
It's close. On paper, they look close, but when you hear them, it's so much different.
Yeah.
And is Johnny on drums on both these?
Johnny produced Recent Mineral, and I think that's all drum tracks, and then it's Eric Slick also playing, because there's a lot of double drums and double of everything where, like, I took, like, two different sessions and melded them together.
Sure.
And then Johnny's on Sweet Magnet, and then Kenny Wollison, I'm not sure if you know him, he plays with, like, Frizzell and Zorn and Waits. He's playing drums, and he has these things called a marching machine, and the marching machine is a net with a bunch of clogs in it, mini clogs, and he just slams them on the ground, so you hear that. And he's doing all that trippy, the steel drum stuff.
It's percussion as it moves.
Yeah. And then Jeff Parker does that burn-in solo on the outro.
Okay, what about this one here? She lays on a leaf. Let's listen.
You seem to hide the
Squat for the Fever Show. Last music for this edition. Start that chunk off with Church Chords doing She Lays on a Leaf. Then we have Bronson Caves. Bronson Caves, that's Jezel. And I think Paul Rosser recorded that. Maybe it's the rest of the band is the, what's Bob Lee with Jonathan? What are they called? Biter.
Thanks, man.
What are they called? Well, I can't think of their name now. But he is on bass. Backbiter. Fucking idiot. Anyway, this is Bronson Caves in this song called Stab Your Eyes. Snore after that, Blaine. This is a cat, they lost their bass player.
Oh, Snore with Anthony.
That's right.
Right, yeah.
Very, very much a drag.
Terrible. Man, oh man, he's a great dude.
Terrible. Well, Anthony still is. It's the bass band they lost. L7 after that, Flowers of Romance. This is the L7. Not with the numbers, but the letters, people. Larissa on guitar. That band with the John called Galaf and Hyenas, Kevin on the bass. It moved to Philly and was in a band called Mule.
Oh, I never knew that band.
Jim Kimball. And then finally, Church Chords with the Teal Lysol version of Sweet Magnet. So it's the same song, but what's the difference?
Different production. The first one is this guy, Ben Lazar Davis. He did, essentially for this Church Chorus project, every song has 2 to 3 mixes, like two or three different productions. So
yeah.
Basically the long one, it started as that long one. And then Teo, is a Teo Macero reference.
Sure.
And then Lysol is a reference to the Melvins classic album. So this guy Ben Davis took the initial, 10-minute version and then shorted and down, and instead of it sounding like a long, piece, and unintentionally it sounds kind of like Don Cherry Brown Rice, but that's all Ben Davis's brilliance. He did a lot of production on it, and I know him from Philadelphia.
Yeah. Now you said off-air people. Drumming. You play drums.
I am.
Still playing guitar?
Yeah, I play a little guitar and I play a little drums, and I've probably done five or so shows on guitar in Los Angeles since I've gotten here, but I still haven't really started a band. I'm hoping to do that soon. And then I was in a band where I played drums, and I think maybe that's what I share with you, and we were together for a minute.
Just come back on, please.
Of course, man.
Okay. People, it's been November 29th, 2023. This is your Walk Pico Shoot. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.